The city smells like wet pavement and diesel this morning, and I'm already nostalgic. It's my last full day in Buenos Aires, and the sky is that pale winter gray that's become familiar. I woke up early, earlier than I have all week, because I wanted one more slow coffee at a cafe I've come to love, Rita's Specialty Coffee on Armenia, before the day got away from me. I ordered a cafe con leche, about 4,000 pesos, a little over $4, and watched the baristas work the machine with the kind of calm precision that makes you want to linger. The place was quiet, just a few laptops and soft conversation. I thought about how much has happened in 7 days. The plane landing at Azaiza, the fog, the paperwork, the milongas, the book fair, the thunderstorm. It feels like a month and also like a blink. After my coffee, I had a few errands to run. The big one was checking on my SUB card balance and making sure I understood the bus routes for tomorrow. I know, not glamorous, but it's the kind of thing that makes a slow overland journey smoother. I stopped at a kiosk on Avenida Santa Fe to top up, and the woman behind the counter asked if I was heading north. I must have that look about me, the one that says leaving. She told me to be careful on the buses, that the colectivos get crowded and pickpockets love a distracted traveler. I've heard that warning a lot, especially about Line B and the Sunday market in San Telmo. Good advice, I think, to keep my bag zipped and my phone in my front pocket. I thanked her and walked toward the sub, thinking about how the city has taught me to be more alert, but also how it's taught me to slow down. I took the sub to the Microcentro, just to see the Obelisco one more time in the daylight. The station was cooler underground, that dry, mineral smell you get in tunnels everywhere. A single ride on the sub is around 1,000 pesos now, about a dollar, which is still remarkably cheap. I stood at the base of the Obelisco and watched the traffic roar around it, the city's frantic pulse. It's a strange monument, a concrete needle in the middle of the widest avenue in the world, but it's become a marker for me, a way to know where I am. From there, I walked to Plaza de Mayo. The political temperature here is always high, but today it felt quieter, maybe because it's Friday and people are thinking about the weekend. I passed the Casa Rosada, that iconic pink palace, and thought about the history that's soaked into these cobblestones. The Madres de Plaza de Mayo have been circling this plaza for decades, and their presence is still felt, a reminder that memory is a form of resistance. I also noticed a few signs about the upcoming holiday, the General José de San Martín Memorial Day on the 17th, a day off to honor the Liberator. I ducked into El Etnio Grand Splendid, the old theater turned bookstore. It's a cliche, I know, but I couldn't leave without one more look at that domed ceiling and the stage where you can drink coffee in red. I didn't buy anything, just breathed it in. The air smelled of paper and dust and something sweet, maybe the cafe. I thought about how the city is full of these spaces that make you want to stay a little longer, to read one more chapter, to have one more coffee. Lunch was a proper asado, because you can't leave Buenos Aires without one last steak. I went to Don Julio in Palermo, the pizzeria that's always packed. I managed to get a seat at the bar, and I ordered a bife de chorizo, about 30,000 pesos, maybe 35 with a glass of Malbec. It was honestly the best I've had here, the meat charred and buttery, the chimichurri bright with vinegar and garlic. Eating there, surrounded by the hum of the room, the clinking of glasses, I felt a pang of something I didn't expect, belonging. After lunch, I wandered through Palermo Soho, looking at the street art and the boutiques. The trees are bare, their branches black against the gray sky, and there's a chill in the air that makes you walk fast. I stopped at a small gallery near Plaza Serrano, mostly to warm up, and the owner, an older man with a white beard, asked where I was from. When I said I was heading to the Northwest, he told me about a friend who runs a bodega in Cafe, and he scribbled the name on a napkin. I have no idea if I'll make it there, but I tucked the napkin in my pocket anyway. These little connections, they're the best part of moving slow. I spent the afternoon packing at my guest house, sorting through the pile of receipts and maps and notes. I've been staying in a place near the Microcentro, a mid-range spot that's cost around 90,000 pesos a night, which for Buenos Aires is reasonable. I looked at my lease for the Palermo flat, the one I signed earlier this week. It's a modest one-bedroom, about 600,000 pesos a month, and I won't be in it for a while, but it's mine. I need to get the utilities connected, but that can wait until I'm back. For now, I have a backpack and a bus ticket north. In the late afternoon, I went back to San Telmo, to the Confiteria La Ideal, for one last Milonga class. I've been practicing since my accidental workshop on Tuesday, and I wanted to feel the floor under my feet again. The salon is all dark wood and chandeliers, a little faded but full of ghosts. The teacher, the same one who laughed at my posture, nodded when she saw me. "You came back," she said. "I tried to be better, to follow the music instead of leading with my head." She corrected me gently, a hand on my shoulder blade, and for a few songs, I think I got it. The bandoneon and the piano filled the room, and I danced with a retired accountant named Jorge, who smelled of tobacco and told me about his grandchildren in Cordoba. He said the tango is a conversation, and if you try to talk, you'll miss what the other person is saying. I thought about that, about how this city is a conversation, too, and I've been learning to listen. After the class, I sat in the back with a glass of water, watching the more experienced dancers glide across the floor, their legs a tangle of elegant angles. I walked out into the evening, the temperature dropping, and the streets were quieter than usual. I passed a small crowd gathered outside a barbershop, watching a soccer match on a TV, and I heard the familiar shouts of GOL echo down the street. I caught my reflection in a shop window, and I looked different to me, more settled, maybe. The city does that to you, I think, if you let it. I had my last dinner at a bodegon near the Congress, a place called Bodegon de la 12, where the portions are enormous and the wine comes in a jug. I ordered a milanesa with mashed potatoes, about 12,000 pesos, and it was the kind of meal that fills you up and slows you down. The waiter, a man in his 60s with a pressed white shirt, asked if I was traveling. When I said yes, he nodded and said, "Buenos Aires will be here when you come back." I hope that's true. Walking home, I passed a milonga in a basement, the music muffled by the heavy door, and I stood there for a moment, letting the bass line vibrate through the pavement. The Tango BA festival starts in less than 2 weeks, and part of me is sad to miss it, but I've had my own small taste of the city's tango heart, and it feels like enough. The festival will be waiting, and so will the milongas and the book fairs and the thunderstorms. Tomorrow, I board a bus for the north. The plan is to drift slowly through the Sierras, then down the Calchaquí valleys, through the wine country, and up into the Quebrada de Humahuaca, where the mountains are painted in stripes of ochre and red. It's a route that takes me from the damp Pampas city to the dry, clear-skied Andean northwest, and I'm ready for the change. The bus ride itself, that's a whole other story, but for now, I'm here in my room, the city humming softly outside my window. Buenos Aires taught me to slow down, to listen, to read the distance between words. It gave me a lease, a SIM card, a stack of bus tickets, and a vague memory of a tango step. It also gave me a way to be alone in a crowd, which is a gift I didn't know I needed. I'm leaving with a full heart and a full notebook, and the slight sadness of a goodbye that feels like the beginning of something else. But that's the thing about moving slow, I guess. You carry the places with you in the way you walk, in the way you wait for the next bus. So here's to Buenos Aires, to the coffee, the steak, the milonga, and the rain. And here's to what's next, whatever that is. Hasta luego, ciudad. Hasta luego, and I'll see you on the road.